official history of Perth.
Founded in 1829, population more than 300,000.
It was 93 in the shade, but that's nothing unusual for Perth.
The West Australian younger set can frisk all day in sun or shade. But hurry home or you'll be late. Your breakfast's ready in the sun. Your fruit is waiting on the plate.
Jeff Hutcherson on ABC Radio Perth.
I'm going to take you a little further back than that. November 9, 1895, and the brothers Harry and Benjamin Bowen officially open a new business situated opposite the Central Railway Station in Perth. It is called Bowen Brothers, a drapery and dry goods business. It'll become a 3-hectare department store, the dominant retailer in WA, and it will meet the needs of the most isolated city in the world for nearly 100 years. And I can only imagine how many of you either shopped or worked there, because by 1969, Bowen's was hailed as WA's largest private employer. Today, on the unofficial history of Perth, what can you tell me about your memories of Bowen's? And here to remind you is Dr. David Hoff, author of the most beautiful reflection of another time, Bowen's for Service, The Story of a Department Store. David, how are you?
I'm well indeed. I've been intrigued sitting out there listening to the response from your listeners, which doesn't surprise me at all.
No, it doesn't. David, what was the business like in the early days?
It was pioneering in the sense that it offered goods that were priced. People could come in and they could look and not feel guilty if they didn't want to buy. There was also a guarantee that if you weren't satisfied, you could give the material back. So many of the characteristics of department store shopping today were pioneered by Harry Bowen. And I think one of the important things to remember, and why it has such a grip on the public imagination, is that the history of Bowen's is the history of Western Australia. So that just as our society suffered through the First and Second World Wars, through the depressions, through the various mining booms, so too was the trajectory of Bowen's. Not only was it a great employer, but there was a lot of matchmaking that went on. A lot of people got married as a consequence of either meeting there as employees, or the greatest place of meeting, apart from the Perth Town Hall, were the marble steps.
The marble steps. We've had more than 250 comments on our Facebook page already, one of which was Margaret, who said, "I met my husband-to-be on my first day working in the book department. That was 1970, and we're still married." This is very familiar to you, isn't it?
I rest my case.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to quote something of yours to our audience, because I think it's very beautiful. "Ask a dozen people who remember the Bowen's department store in Perth, Western Australia, and invariably the answer will be a variation on Bowen's for Service. And then they'll tell you a story of what they remember. They'll recall the cheese and butter counter and the white-coated staff who could cut the amount required so precisely with a piece of wire. The bargain basement specials, the smell of coffee and the freshly baked cakes, or the thin pies in tasty gravy, the sound of oscillating fans with filaments of waving ribbons, the magic of the pneumatic sales docket delivery system piped to the cashier's desks, a rendezvous at the marble stairs, the returned but disabled servicemen who manned the lifts, affectionately known as Wingies and Stumpies." That's beautiful, David.
Thank you.
So Bowen's for Service was synonymous with quality?
Yes, it was, but it was more than just quality. There were, if somebody went into the shop and they wanted something and Bowen's didn't have it, they would get it. For example, one of the things that Rita and John McElraith lived out in Waterman's Bay, where there was no public transport, and there she was, a young housewife with two small boys. At 8:15 every Tuesday morning, a phone call, Bowen's would say, "Here are the specials." She would give her order, and then 2 days later, it would be delivered. If nobody was home, and you didn't lock your houses in those days.
Yes.
They would leave the goods on the kitchen table, and any of the freezer, they'd put in the freezer for you. Now, that was within our metropolitan region. The number of people who lived in the country that relied on the catalogues, the many people tell of how they the catalogues were their saviour in terms of being able to furnish their homes, get things for a growing family, and so on. So that's part of the bundle of benefits, if you like, the service that they operate.
And if you'd had a busy day shopping at Bones, there was a fleet, I think, of 150 vehicles to take you home.
Well, that was in the early days.
Yeah, but that's pretty remarkable, wasn't it?
Yes, well, they were certainly on special occasions, then they provided free taxi services or else free train rides. If you came into Bowens, you got a ticket and enabled you to go home on the train.
On the Drive program today, Dr. David Hoff is telling us what he knows about the fantastic Bowens department store. I'd like to hear your stories. Dallas, hello to you.
Hello, Jeff. When I was much younger, I was about 9 or 10 years old. I do remember the Willy Wheaty show. My school friend and I used to get dressed up and go there. We thought we were dressed up, but I think we looked like rag and bone people. However, at the same time, my mother was rather a confused woman, I think. I never knew my father and I didn't find him till I was older. So there was never a man in the house, but she always had quite a few boyfriends. We called them uncle and we smiled and it was all supposed to be very, I thought everybody lived like that. Now, to cut it short, there was one stage where she had three suitors and, we called them all uncle. And one day she came to us and she said, oh, which one would you like? I want to get married. Which one would you like for your father? So now there was the one who worked in the Whitnum mines and would come down to Perth. Now, he was a nice, but he never dressed nicely.
Yes.
Well, now, we were very superficial young girls then, 9 or 10. And then there was another one, and there was one who used to pull up in a van with Bones written across the side. Now, Bones to us was, we never shopped there. It was just for rich people to go to.
Yes.
And so we decided that he must be really rich. And in this van, he always had rolls of carpet sticking out the back, which meant nothing to us. But it sort of told us that he must be very rich because he owns Bones.
Oh, did he become your dad?
No. We did choose him. We said, Mum, yeah, we like him. But then after, you know, getting to know him a bit better, it was probably, luckily we just didn't have a good feeling, but we chose the man who didn't dress very well, who used to bring us a little bag or give us sixpence to go up and get a bag of lollies each. Now, we thought he would be a great father, so we chose him.
Dallas, thank you very much for your story. I'm going to have to move on. So many people want to talk. G'day, Phil.
Jeffrey, how are you?
Good, thank you, Phil. Did you have a Christmas job at Bones?
I did. My very first job, Christmas casual at Bones. And those marble staircases, they were filled with young 15-year-olds, all pimply and well-dressed. With our resumes, I think we had, or referee, I don't know. I remember I had something in my hand. But yes, got a job, provisions, lovely Englishman there, specially hired because he could slice the salmon. And then there'd be tins of feta, like kerosene tins of feta. And I'd never come across it before. Cheese made locally by the Italians.
Fantastic, Phil. Thank you. I'm going to go to Trish, who's in White Gum Valley. Hi, Trish.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm well, Trish. Did your dad work at Bones?
My dad worked in Bones before he went to the war, and when he came back from the war, they rehired him. And he went on to become a manager of the saddlery department and the leather goods.
Yes.
And he ended up being a buyer for Bowens, and he used to run the equestrian Bowens tent at the show.
Trish, that's...
About 35, 40 years.
Wow, that is a long history. David, were Bowens good employers, because you talk about the history of the business running parallel to the fortunes of the place.
Yes, there are two aspects to that. One is that Bowens always sourced their supplies locally. When Meyer came in, they sourced from the eastern states. But Bowens, right through their history, concentrated on local suppliers. So as Bowens became more prosperous, so too did local suppliers. Now, in terms of employment, at the time of the Depression, Harry Bowen called all the people at the bottom of the staircase and he said, look, things are tight. We aren't making any money. We are going to have to terminate the employment of some of you. But I'd like to put a proposal to you, and if you all accept it, fine. And the proposal was that they went on to a roster system and that everybody was employed, but at a lesser rate. And so they rostered them on. And he said that when things picked up, employment would become full employment again. Now, that was...
It was sharing the work.
Yes, it was, but also sharing the wages.
Yes, of course.
And he was the first person in Perth to do it. Others followed, but he was the trendsetter.
Mark says, I remember tea and scones with my mother at Bowen's and the lift operator announcing the floors on the way up to the cafeteria. However, we shopped at Ahern's because we were Catholics and Bowen's were the other mob. Did that exist? Was there a delineation on the grounds of whether you're a Protestant or a Catholic where you did your shopping?
No, it's a suburban myth.
Is it?
It's a suburban myth. And Tom Ahern actually employed a Protestant secretary who taught at the local Sunday school, and I met an accountant when I was addressing the World Club Book Club, and he said, yes, that's quite right, she was my Sunday school teacher. Another aspect of it is that when Davenport was the general manager, he got a phone call from Tom Ahern who's saying, look, the Archbishop is putting pressure on me to only employ Catholics, and Davenport said, well, we employ more people than you do, and if you go that way. And they both agreed that they would not do that. Now, there is a popular myth that one only employed one and the other, and it's just not true.
That's good. Dr. David Hoff is here. This is the unofficial history of Perth. We're telling the story of Bowen's. Lots of people want to talk. And someone like Jennifer gets in touch, who happens to be the granddaughter of Frank Bowen.
Hello, Jeff.
What a delight for us to hear from you as we talk about Frank and the rest of the Bowen boys.
Yes, I suppose my fondest memories were the 75th anniversary, Christmas, the day we had the escalators installed, and what we'd call Mum's Sunday break, where Dad would take us all in. He did some work. We pretended to be clients in the cafeteria. I was always the woman that managed the till.
Yes.
And my little sisters had to go through with the trays and pretend to get desserts and fish and chips and things. And then on the way out, we were allowed one handful from behind the lolly counter. And I remember as we walked down the street to the car park, my little sister had them in lollies in her underpants and everything, and they just kept falling on the footpath as we walked back to the car.
That is a beautiful story, Jennifer. As you reflect on it, would we have looked at you as kids and thought, oh, those Bowen's girls, they're really spoilt?
I don't think so. I think if you ask my friends, yes, a lot of them really enjoyed the perks of Bowen's, going up to the cafeteria, and I was allowed to take three friends for lunch occasionally.
Wow.
Always fish and chips. And my other favourite was the boardroom, where they had these really yummy little dickies in the jars that we used to take with the permission of Billy, who ran the boardroom.
Yes.
And we were always allowed a lemonade.
Are you very proud of the Bowen name, Jennifer?
I am. My children both have the middle name of Bowen because there was only Mum and Auntie Jane,
yes.
So there were no boys to carry on the family name. But, yeah, it was an amazing upbringing with fabulous stories. And I remember when we sold how sad people were.
Yes.
And my husband to this day says things like, oh, up and down like the Bowen's lift, or, you know, all these old memories that so many families have and remind me of all the time.
To Brian in North Perth. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hello, Jeff, and hello, David. Yes, look, a little bit like Trish, my father started before the Second World War at Bowen's, and he worked on the butter counter where he met my mother, who was buying over the butter counter, and I think she flirted with him and they subsequently got married. But after the war, he returned to Bowen's, and he took over from Captain G as Bowen's welfare officer. Bowen's was very much ahead of its time in actually employing welfare officers. So he was ultimately the welfare officer at Bowen's.
What was he asked to do, Brian?
Oh, he was asked to follow up on people who were off sick. He also ran their social club, And later in his life, they had these homes or these cottages at Point Perrin that he was responsible to look after, where staff could actually go to stay.
Brian, thank you. This is Diane.
Good afternoon. Jeff, look, well, I have great memories. Mum used to take us four kids to Bones, to the school holidays, the saddlery, the aquarium, the wonderful staircases, and we'd always get pie and a chop milk up in the wonderful canteen. We loved it. And my father, who's 94, used to wrap parcels in Bones when he was a young fellow. And boy, can he wrap the best parcels. He's always wrapped all the family parcels. He's so precise. It's wonderful.
That's a lovely story. Thank you, Diane. Jeff, my elderly mum recalls all the crystal was removed from the floor during the war years. Kate said, I love Bones Cafeteria upstairs. They also had an in-store nurse for staff, and they really understood women customers. That is so absent today. David, why did all this come to an end? Why did this wonderful West Australian company essentially just become an easy target, perhaps, for Meyer?
It didn't come so much as an easy target, but one of the innovative things that Frank Bowen did was that he established a network within 8 kilometre radius of suburban department stores. So Waverley was the first one. Now, these began to cannibalise the central store. The other thing is that the central store opposite the railway station was fine when all the trains bringing passengers as well as goods arrived in Wellington Street. They simply brought the stock across. So a large part of the original Bowen's building was not sellable space. It was storage space. So it was inefficient, and the cost of the real estate was absolutely huge. So they had planned to redevelop it. But various circumstances happened. There were no son and heirs to take over. Frank had two daughters, one of whom realised that the way in which supermarkets, department stores were going, and so the family, which although it was a public company, the family still controlled more than 50% of the shares. And so within the family, there was the decision made to sell. But to their credit, they insisted, and it was off-market transactions. It wasn't on the public stock exchange. It was off-market transactions. But there was an insistence that all shareholders be paid the same price.
Let's go to David, who may have been there in the latter days. David, hello.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, David. I remembered fondly I was there in the at the very end of the Stormen for Bones, and one of my tasks was to empty out all of the cavities between the walls. The old building had like cavities between the walls. And in there were some amazing things, old pictures, newspapers, mannequins, clothing. There was 100 years of history that was buried in the cavities of the walls of Bones there.
David, thank you very much. I want to get to Don before we get to the news.
Hello there.
Tell me about your uncle.
Mr. Bones had just bought a brand new car and parked it on Wellington Street, and my uncle stole the car, crashed it, and subsequently went to jail.
Oh, Don. So when I mention the Bowen's name, it just brings out that little criminal element in your background.
Oh, I've probably got a lot more criminal element than that.
Don, thank you for telling that story. This is why it's called the unofficial history of Perth. David, just briefly and in conclusion, your strongest memory of the place.
I was never a shopper at Bowen's. I was never employed by Bowen's. But in the 4 years that it took me to do the work, the overwhelming thing I've come across is that nobody has told me an adult story. All the stories that people have told me, and there have been hundreds of them, have all been childhood stories, being taken from Westonia, for example, down by the train, going up to the cafeteria, watching Father Christmas being delivered with a fireman's extension ladder, the bargain basements. These are the sort of things that children remembered. there aren't adult stories that go with it. So that's probably my last and longest serving memory.
Dr. David Hoff, thank you so much for being part of the unofficial history of Perth. Today we are reflecting on Bones, and Lynn joins us. Hello, Lynn.
Oh, hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thank you. What was Bones to you, Lynn?
It's a lovely memory. My dad worked for Bones for many, many years. From when we were young children, one of my big memories was we used to get dressed up and catch the bus into town with my mum and have lunch in the school holidays with Dad in the dining room at Bowen's. It was very sort of sophisticated. And
yes.
Yeah, it was just lovely. And things like the Christmas windows and Christmas parties for the staff at Castledare for all of us children. So yes. Lots of lovely memories right through to working there myself when I was at Teachers College.
In which department, Lynn?
Oh, I worked in lingerie. I worked in college wear, lots of different areas.
And I even like the way you say lingerie because because there would have been an expectation that you pronounce it with just a hint of French.
Absolutely. And to like an 18, 19-year-old, it was just like a strange department to be working in at that time.
Lynn, thank you very much. This is Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how are you doing?
You worked at Bones too, Rob.
50 years ago this week, having worked in furnishings in the middle of England, I left and eventually arrived in December in Perth. No job, of course.
Yes.
Bones gave me my first opportunity. I ran the soft furnishing store out of Peppy Grove.
Lovely. And were they a good mob to work for, Rob?
Oh, yes. Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, very old-fashioned, which is not a bad thing, you know.
It's not a bad thing, you know. Patty is in Erskine. Hello, Patty.
Oh, hello, yes.
What have you got for us, Patty?
Well, Saturday morning used to be the Willy Weegee show.
Yes.
At Bones, and there was always a prize for the best girl and the best boy. And one week my mother won it, so sitting up straight and singing beautifully.
Yes.
And a friend of the family was the Bones cane maker. So 7 years ago he made a bassinet, which was used for my birth, and it's still used today for our grandchildren and our friends' grandchildren.
And Patty, the Willy Weegee show, was that sort of a talent quest, was it?
No, it was just like a sing-along thing for kids, and you went in and you did all sing-along songs, and it was hosted, and they would have people speaking, and then they would call you up to the stage and ask you questions about what you wanted to be and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, lovely stuff.